Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a traveling man, made a lot of stops all over the world, and in every port I own the heart of at least one lovely girl.
Welcome to the ninth season of Travel Itch Radio, the show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, along with my friend and co-host, Keita Roberts, also known as Girl Carnivore, because of her culinary expertise. This is the 354th episode of Travel Itch Radio. Every week at 8 o'clock Eastern, we interview hoteliers, transportation executives, city, state, and national tourism officials, authors, writers, broadcasters, and others involved in the world of travel, including tour operators, as is the case tonight. We're going to be talking with Chevy Lee, owner of Chevy Lee Tours, a company that specializes in tours of the Great American West. Welcome to Travel Itch Radio, Chevy.
Good to be here, Dan and Keita.
When I think of the Great American West, I think of wide open spaces, majestic mountains, wildlife running free, and even cowboys and Indians. Am I on the right track?
I would say so, but we offer the alternative or escape from urban overcrowding, traffic, smog, rat race. We got lots of wide open spaces here.
Well, and that's wonderful to hear. I know I grew up idolizing the American West. Can we tell our listeners about Chevy Lee Tours and what kind of tours you do offer?
From the beginning, we have concentrated on historic and cultural heritage of the Great American West. We have a lot of experiential stuff. That's not to say that we're doing bull riding or anything like that, but we have a lot of living history. We walk in actual wagon ruts because of the arid weather out here. Many of them still exist. And in our phrase, we go where history happened.
What an amazing, that's a great phrase. And so what is the history of Chevy Lee Tours? How and when did you get started?
It was a total accident in 1978. I'm embarrassed to admit it. I answered an ad in a paper, and it was a tour company here in the Black Hills, just a local sightseeing company who was looking for it to hire step-on guides. There was nothing mentioned about training or anything like that. I ended up writing the whole manual for that company, and it became very evident to me from the beginning is what we have to sell here in the Black Hills is history, and that would work for the whole Western United States. Of course, the whole country has history. You can find history everywhere, but out here it's kind of romanticized, and in a way I kind of wanted to set the record straight. We switched from local sightseeing after not quite 15 years, I guess it was, and started doing more outbound tours. And as it is right now, we only have one tour in South Dakota at all.
Well, I know you love the National Park System, which had its centennial just a few short years ago. What parks are part of your tours, and is anything special going on this year?
Yeah, that anniversary was 1916. The Park Service was founded in 1916, so it was 2016 when they celebrated their 100th anniversary. But there were national parks declared before that. The first one in the country was in California, and it started as a state park. And then Yellowstone, of course, was the first official one, also prior to that 1916 date. Any park in the West is game for us. If we are in that area, I'm planning a tour for New Mexico right now in September, and we've got a ton of national parks in that one.
Well, a recent bicentennial was also a big deal for you, the Lewis and Clark Expedition. What was that all about, and what did you do to mark the occasion?
Well, we developed a tour to mark the occasion. We started planning well before the official dates were 2003 to 2006. I believe we did the first scouting trip in 1998, and then we had the first tour we ran in 2001, which, of course, was 2 years prior to that anniversary. It was Lewis and Clark Trail was declared a National Historic Trail for that occasion. It was a very, very big occasion. There was a lot of money thrown at it. And it certainly helped those of us who were trying to celebrate during those years. We were running as many as 3 Lewis and Clark Trail tours per year. And that's a big deal because they were 16 days each.
We're talking with Chevy Lee of Chevy Lee Tours. Tita?
That is a really long tour. And as a total park junkie myself, it's incredibly exciting. Now, you're based in Rapid City, not far from Custer State Park, and its annual Buffalo Roundup. When is it, and what is that, and wasn't it voted the number one tourist attraction in the entire United States?
Well, it actually was the American Bus Association's number one event in the United States for 2015, and it's still going strong. We're almost half full, and it doesn't take place this year until the end of September, every year at the end of September, actually.
Now, can you explain a little bit more about what that is, the Buffalo Roundup?
Well, Custer State Park was a part of the saving of the buffalo, which is a very long story, from extinction. They were very nearly extinct by the beginning of the 20th century. And there were a few people who saved them, ranchers who had saved them from the last great buffalo hunts, what they called. And in Custer State Park, they were protected. And there was no thought even of rounding them up or counting them or any need. All we were trying to do was save them from extinction. And the herd grew very, very slowly. Between 1914, when it was begun, and about the mid-1950s. And then all of a sudden, we realized we had too many for the acreage that we have. Now, the park is much bigger than it. We try to keep it at around 1,300 animals. And they got up to almost 2,000. The park is 73,000 acres. That's plenty of room for 2,000 buffalo. But most of the park is rocky and trees and mountains. And buffalo don't like that too much. They like to be out on the prairie as they traditionally were. So they kept to the southern part of the park, which is more rolling hills, more what they had for millennium, had lived on a terrain like that. So that part of the park is not enough to support 2,000 animals. So we started having the roundup and a sale following it. And nobody came. It was just what the park personnel did every year. The park is, those animals are brucellosis free, which cattle ranchers are dead set against because if buffalo have it, they are impervious to it, but if cattle will die from it. So that's how it began, and now it has turned into a very, very big deal. We had 25,000 people attend this year.
Wow, that's absolutely amazing. And obviously there is a massive backstory to that, which is totally worth everybody's investment, in my opinion. But obviously we just mentioned Custer, Chevy, so I'm assuming that you are kind of a fan of history.
Well, my background is theater and history, and I'm just about interested in anything. It doesn't have to be about the West. I have a lot of interest, but it occurred to me early on in my career that the history is what we have to sell here. We had a big gold rush, which opened up this part of the country just overnight in 1876 when gold was discovered in the Black Hills. And when you can connect that history to what you're looking at today, when you're driving around as the sightseeing company that I had originally, it's just a perfect fit.
Do a lot of your tours run right in your home state of South Dakota? I know Mount Rushmore is there, but what else makes your state so special?
Well, we like to think that it's the western part of the state only, but the Lewis and Clark Trail ran through what is now South Dakota as well. Here in the hills, we have 6 national parks within a 150-mile radius, and I'm not sure that exists anywhere else in the country, as a matter of fact. When the gold held up for over 100 years, so that was our main economy. But gradually, tourism took over, and it is now the number one industry in the western part of the state.
And before I forget, I've got to slip in a question about buffalo burgers. Obviously, they're real big out there, aren't they?
I have buffalo in my freezer at all times, yes. It is very healthy. It's got full of vitamin C. That's one of the reasons the Lewis and Clark expedition only suffered one death, and it didn't have anything to do with nutrition. Buffalo happens to be very high in vitamin C. And the men of the Lewis and Clark Trail didn't like vegetables, didn't like fruit, but they loved buffalo, and that's what kept them alive and why they made it back in 26 months.
Well, we've got to ask Girl Carnivore. Gita, do you have any experience with cooking buffalo?
I have cooked buffalo more than once, and also because I am fascinated in American foodways and such a student of it, the buffalo story as a whole, as an American foodie. It's a pretty magnificent story, but man, it makes for an amazing meatloaf.
It sure does. Buffalo is really tasty. I like it a whole bunch. And it's the original BLT, you know, buffalo, lettuce, and tomatoes. So I like that too. Anyway, Chevy Lee Tours is part of a larger company called TAP, Travel Alliance Partners. What is that, and does it provide one-stop shopping for the consumer interested in travel? For example, if I wanted to go to Cooperstown or to the Cubs Cardinals game in London, can I do it through Chevy Lee Tours even though it's not in your catalog?
We actually don't even have a catalog, but we have a very extensive website, and it is tied to Travel Alliance Partners. Tap into travel.com. And yes, we can get you anything here at Chevy Lee Tours that any of our partners develop and sell. We are all specialists in one thing or another, and some of them just do Europe. One specializes in Australia. One specializes in Italy. I'm one of three TAP partners who do the American West. Ours is a little more concentrated on the history of the West. But if there's cruises, whatever that you are interested in, we could connect you with the perfect tour or cruise at Chevy Lee Tours.
So it sounds like the members of TAP are friendly competitors, am I right?
No, we're not competitors at all. We work together. We sell each other's tours. It's a very unique organization, and I'm very proud to be a founding partner. Back before we turned it to 2000. So it's the whole idea was to fill our buses. There, at that time, there was some travel problems, and of course, and then 9/11 really was a hit on the tourism business, air travel, you name it. And we thought we had a better idea. It's taken us a long time to develop it, and we are very, very proud of the non-competitive attitude that we have. We are definitely a partnership.
Okay, we're talking with Chevy Lee of Chevy Lee Tours. Kita?
It is so wonderful to hear that rising tide lifts all ships mentality. So, moving back to those tours, some of the listeners may have never been on a group tour. You know, that can be a little bit intimidating, and they might be hesitant about signing up. So, my obvious question is, why should somebody take a group tour instead of maybe doing this all on their own?
Well, I mentioned our original motto, which was we lend insights to the sites. You're not going to get that if you travel alone. You're not going to have the educational aspect of it. You're not going to have the cost savings that we can provide. And we have scouted everything ahead of time. We're not taking our chances on what's on the internet or what we can read about it. We have the partners, again, that we can rely on to give us advice on certain itineraries. And it's the cost savings and the expertise is probably the best reason to go with on a group tour, not to mention the camaraderie and the new friends that you will make.
That is something I totally believe in. Every group tour I've ever been on, I've always left with some new lifelong friends. Now, Do you have a maximum and minimum age for your tours? Do you cater to seniors, or do you attract a mix of all ages and gender? And can you accommodate those who may have trouble walking or have special needs?
The last one is the hardest thing to answer about the trouble with walking. We have had people on our tours who are in wheelchairs, even on crutches, but they have to have a traveling companion who takes care of them because the tour director has other duties and can't be completely absorbed with taking care of one person at the loss of the rest of the passengers. We do not have a maximum age. I have two 80-year-olds already signed up for the Lewis and Clark Trail this year. We do have a minimum age. We won't take anybody who's less than 12. We do get a lot of groups that are grandparents and traveling with grandchildren. We don't cater to any particular mix because we like having a mixture of ages and genders. Our tours, because of the nature of the educational aspect of it, although I don't like to use the word education, we have a hell of a lot of fun on our tours too. They do tend to be younger people, not retired. And there are tour companies out there, you have guessed, I guess, that do have mostly seniors. We have never had that kind of a demographic.
And what about cost? Is it cheaper to go as a group or as an individual?
Well, this is a no-brainer. It's absolutely cheaper if you can band together. You have a number of people, and you can spread around the costs, break it up between those. The more people that are on the coach, the less it's going to cost. We do, however, again, because we have longer tours, the Lewis and Clark Trail, as I said, was 16 days. If we have more than about 30 passengers on the coach, it's not as valuable, the experience isn't, because we have a lot of activities on board. We have videos that we show. We play Lewis and Clark trivia all the way from St. Louis to Astoria. We have discussions. There's no lectures at all on our tours. We have discussions, and sometimes they're quite lively. We have a library on board, so we can have fact checkers. And we play this trivia, and we have some really, really good discussions. And all of this adds to the experience that you're learning, and you're having a good time while you're learning.
And do your passengers come from all over the country? Do they usually fly into an air gateway and then get on a motor coach for the duration?
Our tours begin in one place and end in another, at least all the trail tours do. So, yes, we select where they start. Sometimes it's a round trip, like they might fly into Denver and we'll do a circle tour and end up in Denver. We have others that begin in one place and end in another. That's just the nature of it, and we set up all of the accommodations, meals, attractions, activities, everything we're going to do between those two points, and we take care of everybody, including many meals as well. Now, the transportation is our deluxe motor coaches. So we only use top of the line. They are very, very comfortable.
Now, that comes into my next question, because I know I get a little bit antsy if I'm worried I'm going to be sitting for too long. So what do you tell people when they're worried that they might be uncomfortable sitting on that bus for long stretches?
Well, the long stretches are broken up. We have a break every 2 hours, no matter how long the day is. But there's more leg room. There's more spacing between the seats. There are wider aisles than first-class airplane seats. They are far more comfortable and more space all the way around. And that's another reason we don't jam-pack the bus with 50 people on these longer ones. On a really short tour, it doesn't matter that much. But on the longer tours, we want everybody to be as comfortable as possible. And, of course, there's an onboard lavatory, too. So that's part of the experience.
Well, that's good because I drink a lot of coffee. We are talking with Chevy Lee of Chevy Lee Tours.
I'm a tea drinker myself.
Well, you know, everybody's got something. Now, since you travel to some of those pretty remote places, are you able to provide good accommodations for your passengers, or can we expect something a little rustic?
It depends on the tour. The Lewis and Clark Trail, of course, we're following the trail, which was along rivers. And on that tour, we have some very, very, every single hotel is three diamond, and two towards the end when we're getting towards the Pacific are four diamond. There's a lot of good hotels out here. We don't use any super eights, let me put it that way.
Well, I have my own favorite places out west. Lake Powell and Monument Valley are especially photogenic. Do you work in your favorites on your tour itineraries?
I think that's inevitable. If you traveled as much as I have and studied the areas that we tour, I also like Lake Powell and Monument Valley. Anything you want to name in Utah is top of my list. But I've discovered things on scouting trips that I never knew was there. I mean, that's the point of doing a scouting trip. So we like to use out-of-the-way places, too, that people have maybe never heard of. And that also increases the appreciation of the participants.
Well, to our listeners, you're listening to Travel Itch Radio with Dan Schlossberg and Keita Roberts. Find the archive show on blogtalkradio.com or check out Travel Itch Radio on Facebook or also on iTunes. If somebody has been a Chevy Lee Tours passenger, should he or she still study your website to see what's new? In other words, do your tours change from one year to the next?
We have some old favorites that we bring back every once in a while. Some of them are so unique, you just can't sell them every year. One legendary North Dakota comes to mind because that's a bucket list tour. Unfortunately, it's often the 50th state that people want to check off their bucket list. And then when they finally come, they want to know why they waited so long. And in addition to that, we have all of the tours of our partners that we can offer. So we have a great deal of variety that we can offer.
Oh, wow. I personally love South Dakota. I think it's absolutely stunning. Now, most of our tours have a built-in bonus, which is the experience guides provide that beautiful narration and a deeper explanation of things, telling people what they're about to see or experience. Where do you find your guides, rather, and do you keep the same ones year after year? Also, do you serve on as a step-on guide yourself?
Well, the terminology is incorrect. I had a step-on guide service for many years, but we use step-on guides in various locations, but the person who goes with them all the way from beginning to end is a tour director. And yes, I do the tour directing on tours that are my favorites. I'm the boss, so I get to choose. But I'm very lucky as far as tour directors go, because after all these years, I have quite a reputation for going far beyond being an entertainer on the bus and making sure that the rooms are ready at the hotels and all of that sort of thing. We are the experts, and I have people who actually come to me and ask if they can work for me. And I check out their resumes, and most of them stay once they've started working for me.
Oh, that's wonderful. And once again, guys, we're talking with Chevy Lee of Chevy Lee Tours.
You're a member of ABA, American Bus Association, and attended the annual meeting in Omaha last month. How does that membership help Chevy Lee Tours?
Well, it's kind of a marathon to go to the marketplace for ABA, but it really pays off. We have 162 7-minute meetings with suppliers, hotels, motor coach operators, all kinds of suppliers who provide services and news about their areas. And it's a cost-effective way for us to go to a place like that where it's a different location every year. And we can meet with all these suppliers. And instead of driving, for example, the entire Lewis and Clark Trail to meet them, and you might miss some, and it would take weeks out of your schedule. And here I can do this in less than a week every year and get all kinds of new ideas and information that I need to include on my tours.
And speaking of information, you write a terrific blog called Trail Talk. How often does it come out, and who is your primary audience?
Well, travelers is the answer to that one. But we also have people on our list who are suppliers and who are other tour operators to sometimes get ideas from us. It's published every month on the first of the month, and then we send out a notice a few days later to remind people that Chevy Lee has posted a new trail talk. And this month's entry, for example, was called Why We Travel.
Oh, wow. I have to go subscribe to that. So while we have a moment here, I want you to brag a little bit and share some of those awards that Chevy Lee Tours has won.
Well, the first one, I believe, was in 2002, and that was Best Tour Operator of that year from the North American Travel Journalists Association. This is not an award. I had to earn this designation. Certified Tour Professional, which is a designation, and we have to earn it like a degree. And that one came from the National Tour Association.
Okay, and how do Travelwitch listeners learn more about Chevy Lee Tours?
Well, you can go to our website is the easiest way. It's chevyleetours.com, and Chevy is spelled S-H-E-B-B-Y. And then my last name is Lee, L-E-E, tours.com.
Kita?
So that is Chevy Lee Tours, S-H-E-B-B-Y-L-E-E, tours.com. Is there anything, Chevy, that we have not asked you tonight that you would like to include?
Well, at that website, you can sign up for to get on that Trail Talk blog list, and you'll also get at the middle of the month we put out our newsletter. So there's only two things a month. We don't want to bombard people with unwanted email, but we'd be glad to have you included on the listing if you'd like to sign up.
Awesome. And our guest tonight on Travel It's Radio has been Chevy Lee, the owner and operator of Chevy Lee Tours. Once again, thank you so much for being our guest. I'm actually really excited to check out Trail Talk.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and last minute, Valentine's Day shoppers, with Valentine's Day just one day away, it's not too late to buy that special someone a gift that keeps on giving. I'm talking about my biggest and best book, The New Baseball Bible. 465 beautifully illustrated pages for a sawbuck, such a deal, and a great companion for rain delays. Find it on Amazon.com or your favorite bookseller today. That's The New Baseball Bible, Notes, Nuggets, Lists, and Legends from our national pastime. And that's it for this edition of Travel Itch Radio. Join us again next week, same time, same station, same writers, when we'll learn about the historic Hotel Queensberry in Glens Falls, New York, from General Manager Tyler Herrick. Watch the Travel Itch Radio Facebook page for more announcements about future shows. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg, along with Kita Roberts, saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night.